Glad to see everybody this morning. I want to thank my Aunt Shirley for coming out today. Start my first one here, Peace in the Valley.
Bless you, Lord.
I hear the roar.
About great when God couldn't swear by no greater.
Right.
He swore by his own name to Abraham that it be so, and the Bible said Abraham staggered not at the promise of God, but was rich in faith. And you know, all God asked us to do was believe. He said, I'll take care of everything else.
Yeah, that's right.
And without faith, it's impossible to please God. I thought about that first song Brother Danny sung, Peace in the Valley.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere Jesus went, he said, peace be unto you.
Yeah.
He said, my peace I give unto you. Man, he's all about peace.
Yeah.
But the Bible says there's no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. And they don't know peace, but I'm glad I know peace. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Good job singing there,
yeah.
Brother Danny. And This where we're down a little bit. That don't bother me. I got asked one time to preach up there at Cave City up there. Brother Danny Riggs had a church up there right next to the red light there, pretty close to Pier 19. And I showed up, and there wasn't nobody there but me, him, his wife, and a young preacher. And he said, Brother Eddie, he said, you don't have to preach if you don't want to. I said, Brother Danny, I come to preach.
That's right.
Poor Sister Doris, she said, don't worry about me, preacher. She said, I'm a preacher's daughter, and I have to admit, she got a pretty good brunt of that message. She said, don't worry about me, I'm used to it. Wear it out. Let's see, I'm looking for my glasses, I guess. Be opening up your good old King James Bible. Good to have Shirley with us here this morning. Good to have all of you with us here this morning.
Right. Amen.
I was telling Brother Ed I really didn't have a message till this morning at 3:16. Not that the 3:16 was that important, but I do remember looking at the clock, and I did have, you know, a little jot, a little tittle, which I usually do. I've still got all kind of them. But it just sort of seemed like this was the direction the Lord led me to go in, and I always want to follow the Lord in whatever direction He does lead in. But I will be taking our preaching out of Jonah this morning, and be opening up your good old King James Bible to the book of Jonah. And for sake of time, I'm only going to read 4 verses of Jonah chapter number 3. And the Bible says in Jonah chapter 3 verse 1, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee.
Yes.
So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. That's important. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Mm-hmm. I will stop right there, and I'm preaching today on second chance. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for this beautiful day. Opportunity, Lord, you've given us to gather in your house. Thank you for the good singing, Lord, the good congregational singing. Lord, the good special singing. Lord, we're here for no other purpose but to give you praise and glory. Pray, Lord, you'll take time to sup with us. Allow us to sup with you. I pray, Lord, we're all in good standing with you, Father. You, the searcher of the hearts. Lord, if there be an issue here, there be a matter here, I pray that sweet Holy Spirit of God would help in it, Lord. And I pray it be fixed, Lord, or be made right before we leave.
Yeah.
Whatever you do, Lord, we give you praise and glory. Those that are sick, not able to be here, Father, we pray, Lord, your mercies multiplied, your grace given, your blessing bestowed, that they might recover and be with us on the next gathering, Father. And in Jesus' name we ask all these things, your will be done. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible says, known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world, in Acts chapter 15, verse number 18. And the reason I read that verse is because God already knew what Nineveh needed.
Mm-hmm.
Now Jonah wasn't on board. You notice it said the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. So that means there was another time.
Right.
So you look over here in Jonah chapter 1 and it said, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, I hope I got that name right, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. So God has given Jonah a second chance to do what He told him to do. Now Jonah wasn't on board, and like I said, known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. Nothing takes God by surprise. There's not a sparrow that falls that His eye doesn't see it. It's not like anything can be hid from Him. The psalmist said, He knows my down setting, my uprising, my thoughts are far off. The Bible says in the book of 1 John, God's great in our heart, knows all things. It ain't like we can hide anything from God. But Jonah, in an effort not to do what God told him to do, and I've heard a lot of stories about Nineveh, and I don't know for sure the reason that Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. He might have just been lazy, Joanne. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe he didn't want to do anything. But it wasn't like he had a choice in the matter.
Right.
I mean, one way or another, Jonah's going to Nineveh. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right.
But Jonah here given a second chance, and I'm not going to speculate on why he didn't want to go. I did hear this about Jonah. I heard they were extremely wicked. I heard they could skin a man alive and keep him alive. I heard they could impale you up on a pole. Somehow or another put it in the cavity of your chest. And you'd take days to die. I don't know. I've heard a lot of tales. I don't guess nobody knows for sure. I do know one thing. I do know that Jonah was reluctant to go at the first time.
Yes.
God told him to go to Nineveh. But if you'll notice, the second time, the second chance, it said, and Jonah arose and went. Verse number 3 says there, but known unto God all His works from the beginning of the world. The Bible talks about the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. And when I say that, you know, a lot of people, they take a lot of things for granted. When you read St. John chapter 1, verse 10, it says, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not.
Yeah, right.
Verse 11 says, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not.
That's right.
So, I mean, God, He not only was in this world, and it made this world, but the world took no knowledge of Him with any regard, and really don't even today. But in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, it says that by Him all things were made that are made, and without Him was not anything made that is made.
Right.
And the next verse says, by Him all things consist. In other words, He holds the atom together.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now man has figured out how to split an atom, and He made an atom bomb.
Mm-hmm.
But He couldn't even do that if God hadn't had the atom together to split the neutron and the proton and all that stuff. And I ain't no rocket scientist. But let me say this, that Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world, that first man got a second chance. Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, it's the aftermath of Adam and Eve. They've done disobeyed that one commandment.
Yeah.
They've both done eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Their eyes have been opened. Now they know they're naked. They make the very first religion there ever has been, the fig tree religion.
Right.
And it worked just right.
That's right.
Amen.
It worked great. Adam, he strutted his step. Eve, she said, how do I look today? He said, you look fiddly beautiful.
Right.
It worked just great, Jerry, until God showed up.
Amen.
And when God showed up, the fig tree religion wasn't sufficient, so Adam and Eve went hid themselves from the presence of the Lord.
Right.
God knew exactly why Adam was hiding. God knew exactly where Adam was hiding. And yet God said, Adam, where art thou? And Adam said, I hid myself. God said, is that right? Why did you hid yourself? He said, because I was naked. God said, who told you was naked?
Mm-hmm.
Did you eat of that tree I told you not to eat of? And you got that blame game. Adam said, that woman you gave me, that's what we do. We blame one another.
Yeah. Sure.
Right. That woman you gave me, she gave me to eat, and I did eat. And God confronted that woman, and he said, what's this you've done? She said, that serpent beguiled me. And I did eat, and everybody's got to blame except the serpent. He got no one to turn around and blame it to, Joanne. So he kind of got left holding the bag. But here's what I wanted to say. I said all of that about Adam getting a second chance. In Genesis chapter number 3, verse 21, it said, and the Lord God made coats of skins for Adam and his wife.
Yes.
And God made them coats of skins, and God clothed them. Now in Proverbs chapter 27, we're teaching in Proverbs right now, but in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 16, it's an unusual verse, and it says, lambs are for thy clothing. So that gives me a pretty good idea that the lamb which was slain from the foundation of the world is the one that gave Adam that second chance. I just want to throw all that in there. We're not here to preach about Adam. There's a lot of people got second chance. Samson, that big, strong, robust man Samson, kept fooling around with sin. He was a Nazarite from his mother's womb, and there were certain things he wasn't supposed to do, and he just kept getting a little further.
Yeah,
and next
right.
thing you know, he's sleeping in the lap of Delilah. And she's done been paid a large sum of money, and she can just come up with the secret of Samson's strength. And he finally tells her what makes him strong, the long hair. If I be shaven, then I'll be like any other man. And she calls him the devil, and they come in and give him a haircut in the devil's barber shop. And he said, I'll go at his other times. And he did not know that God had departed from him. And they got him and bound him and blinded him and made fun of him.
Yeah.
But Joanne, he prayed, Lord, restore, I pray my strength one more time that I may be avenged in my eyes. And surely God gave Samson a second chance, and he killed more Philistines in his death than he did in his life.
Right.
He killed 3,000 Philistines in his death. He killed 1,000 Philistines with a jawbone of an ass. But I just want you to know, God gives a lot of people a second chance.
Amen. Right. Yeah, he does.
Amen.
I thank God for second chances.
Yeah.
Man, we all mess up. And some of us mess up miserably.
Yeah.
But we all mess up to some degree, some.
Right.
But God gave Jonah a second chance. And by the way, he used it. You can see right there in verse number 3, so Jonah arose. And not only did God give Jonah a second chance, but God gave Nineveh a second chance.
That's right.
Now look, they're already wicked, they're already in condemnation, but with Jonah coming, that gives Nineveh a second chance. And by the way, they repented. Jesus said, the men of Nineveh would rise up and condemn the world because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, Matthew chapter 12, verse 41. And Jesus, the same one that mentioned that, also said, except you repent, you'll perish, in Luke chapter 13, verse 3 and verse number 5. And let me say, God gave me a second chance, and praise God I used it. April 27th, 1988, a drunk named Eddie Wade called upon him to preach your mercy. All that called upon him, and I found more mercy and more grace than I could ever dream there for me. And I got wonderfully and gloriously saved right there in my bedroom, 9,000 dead in the road. And I tell you what, I ain't been the same, and I never will be what I was. Ain't yet to be seen what it shall be, but when he does appear, I'll be like unto him. Amen.
Amen.
But praise God for those second chances. I mentioned a while ago about that one verse. I said, remember that verse in verse number 3. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. That just tells how big Nineveh was. It took 3 days to walk the distance of Nineveh.
Yeah.
Jonah went 1 day's journey into Nineveh, and I guess you could call him the first street preacher. And I've done a lot of street preaching. I street preached for, I don't know, 10 or 15 years. I preached for 10 years up there on the public square in Glasgow, Kentucky, up there every Saturday morning, 9 o'clock. But Jonah goes in there and just simple message. He don't really get long-winded. He just says, yeah, 40 days, and then it'll be overthrown. But Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah. I would to God we could have a Nineveh repentance today. Yeah, I wish America did like Nineveh did, from the greatest down to the least. They put on sackcloth and ashes. And listen, God gave Nineveh a second chance. God gave Jonah a second chance. And God will give you a second chance if you need one. Amen. But praise God, Jonah used that second chance. Boy, I tell you what, you look at Jonah here. I mean, he's not on board with going to Nineveh. And sadly, he had to go through a terrible ordeal to be persuaded to go to Nineveh. God prepared a great fish. Jesus told us it was a whale. Somebody said, how in the world can a man be swallowed by a whale? Has anybody ever seen a whale shark? I mean, that thing's as big as one of them luxury liners. They just drown all the each plankton. Can you imagine one of them swallowing a guy? And there he is in the belly of that whale. I've got a lot of thoughts about being in the belly of a whale. I don't think he can live 3 days in the belly of a whale. I believe Jonah was dead.
Right.
But in the belly of a whale for 3 days and three nights, a type of Christ in the heart of the earth, 3 days and three nights, a picture of Christ. Jesus said, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so must the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth.
Yeah.
Here he is. I want you to know he's done a lot of thinking while he's in the belly of that whale.
Right.
And a stubborn a preacher as he must have been, or a prophet as he must have been. You look here in chapter 2, in verse number 1, you see Jonah praying. He's praying in the belly of a whale.
Yeah.
And you look at verse number 2, you see Jonah crying. I mean, buddy, he's sorry. He's repentant. He said, I've cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. He said, out of the belly of hell cried I. Jonah didn't just go to Nineveh. He went through hell before he got there. But not only that, you see him also going down. Verse number 6, he said, I went down. In verse number 7, you see he remembered. He said, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came unto thee, unto thy holy temple. And then he makes a profound statement. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Jonah's wanting mercy. Jonah's at the bottom. Jonah's remembering God. And he look here, he's got a little bit of hope now. In verse number 9, he says, I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I vowed. Salvation to the Lord. I like that real good. You won't get saved nowhere but of the Lord. And not only did he have hope, he had faith. He said, I'll pay that which I vowed, salvation of the Lord. In verse 10, the Lord spake unto that fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon dry land.
Yeah.
That was just a limousine, Bonnie. That whale just makes sure he made it to Nineveh.
Yeah.
I can just see him now walking out the tongue of that whale saying, thanks for the transportation, Lord. It's a whole lot smoother riding that old boat out there bouncing up and down. Well, anyway, here Jonah, as reluctant as he might have been, he's given a second chance. And not only did God give Jonah a second chance, but God had to put up with him after God gave Jonah that second chance. You'll get this here in a minute. Jonah got mad.
Yeah, he did.
Look at Jonah chapter number 4, verse 1. And it pleased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Now Jonah's done spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale. Jonah's done delivered that great message to Nineveh and 120,000 people that didn't know their left hand, their right hand repented. Instead of him being glory to God, hallelujah. Boy, what a preacher I am. He's mad, Carolyn. He's mad. And you know what? I've seen people mad. But anyway, he reminded me a whole lot of that elder son mentioned there in Luke chapter 15, talking about a certain man had two sons. One was a prodigal son.
Yeah.
Joanne, and the prodigal son, he come to himself, and he said, "In my father's house there's bread to spare, and I perish with hunger." And he took up his plan and said, "I'll arise, go to my father, and say, 'Father, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. I've sinned against you and against heaven.'" And his father saw him a great ways off, went out surely, and fell on him, on his neck, kissed him. But he had an elder son. And that elder son, you know, he got mad.
Right.
He got mad, Sharon. You know what he said?
Right.
He said, "You never killed me, no fatted cat."
Yeah,
you know,
right.
I've seen a lot of them elder sons. You know what I mean? They get a little jealous.
Yeah.
You know, somebody, you know, don't get their way. And just like a child, you know, they get all huffy-puffy. And you got to go over there, you know, change their diaper and put another pacifier in. And some mind me bad. This somehow got to get them back on level ground, you know.
Right.
I don't know how many I've had to console, talk to, counsel with, and say, "Well, it could be worse." "No, it couldn't." I said, "Oh, yes, it can."
Right.
And you don't want the worst. Trust me.
Yeah.
You ought to be thankful. Just have a light affliction you got.
Amen.
You go to the nursing home, go to the hospital, and you'll see people are truly suffering.
Yeah.
Me and Brother Mitchell was talking about the service. He was talking about Bessie's sister, and we was talking about my daughter. And of course, in their eyes, you know, they do well to be angry.
Right.
Oh, they're mad. They got a right. They got their rights and indignation. Here Joan is. I do well to be angry. I got a reason to be angry.
Yeah.
Well, God did not only give Joan a second chance. God had to put up with him after he gave that second chance to him, man.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Joan reminds me of a lot of people. But I'll tell you right now, God did put up with Jonah. And God even tried to comfort Jonah in the condition he's in. The Bible says in Jonah chapter 4 verse 6 that the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah. Jonah's mad.
Yeah.
Amen.
You ever try to talk to somebody that's mad, Carolyn?
Yeah.
Okay. Bible said a brother offended, it's harder to be one than a strong city.
Mm-hmm.
You ever try to talk to somebody mad, Bonnie? You got to kind of watch. You got to watch how you conduct yourself. You got to watch, you know, how you talk to them. You know, I mean, that's, they're always looking for something to get mad about.
Right.
Well, God caused this gourd to come up, and all it's doing is shaking Jonah.
Right.
That's all it's doing. It's just the mercy of God.
Yeah.
So God saves us, God puts up with us, and somehow or another He comforts us.
Right.
As childish as we are, as angry as we get, as so much, you know, I hear people all the time, "It's my life, I'll do what I want to."
Yeah.
Is that right? The Lord giveth. Job said, "The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away."
That's
but God,
right.
He prepares a gourd, and He makes it to come up over Jonah, so that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. I don't want to say no more about the gourd. I don't want to say no more about Jonah. I'll tell you what, I've met a lot of Jonahs. And I've saw a lot of people that tried to be a gourd.
Right.
They ended up getting hurt.
Right.
Trying to help someone, trying to be a comfort to them. And that one that's mad take out all frustrations on them. And you know, ain't nothing worse than having to put up with somebody that's disgruntled. Somebody really be better off just drug them out, slap them real good and say, "Get off."
Amen.
Man, I don't know who it was. Somebody a while back got slapped real good. That's the best thing ever happened to them. I mean, they got over real quick. You know what I mean? My mom used to slap me.
Yeah.
She never did a one I didn't need. But I'll tell you what, helped me get over whatever I was having a problem with. She got my attention real quick. God here, he's helping Jonah with his righteous indignation. And Jonah, you know, he liked the gourd. And he's mad because Nineveh repented. He's mad because God spared Nineveh. Somebody said he got mad because it made him a false prophet. Because whenever you prophesied something, if it didn't come true, you was a false prophet. Well, I'll say this. I just tell Jonah, if that's what he's mad about, just tell him, go see Jesus.
Yeah.
He said, "I just did what he said to do. I just delivered his message. I told you I'm just a messenger boy anyway. If you're going to get mad at somebody, get mad at one that told me to preach this message."
Yeah.
About 3 o'clock this morning, I'm sitting there laying in bed thinking, "Okay, Lord, if that's what you want, that's what we'll do." But anyway, Jonah has been given a second chance, and God's having to put up with Jonah, but God did put up with him. And here he is, you know, ministering to the grief of Jonah, trying to help Jonah. And then you got those, you know, that are given a second chance and God has to put up with them. And then you got those like Naaman. They're told what to do and they get mad instead of doing it.
That's right.
Amen. Simple message. Yeah. Jonah, all he had to do was go preach to Nineveh.
Right.
And you know what? He did what he was told to do. When he did it, it went just as planned. Well, Naaman, he's leprosy. And you know, he was a valiant man, but he was a leper. And he had a little Hebrew maid, a little young girl that they took in captivity when they went out, you know, fought against Israel. And this little maid, she wasn't resentful. She said, "Would to God my Lord would go to the king of Israel, for there's a prophet there, and he would cover him of his leprosy." I'm paraphrasing a little bit here. And anyway, Naaman got all dressed up, put on the vest he had, surely. Yeah. And he pulled up out there in front of the king's house out there, and the king said, "Who am I?" Mm-hmm. And the prophet sent word to him, said, "Send him to me."
Yeah.
So Naaman goes strutting down there to the house of Elisha. And Elisha, Brother Jerry, he won't even come out. He sends a servant out there with a simple message: "Go dip 7 times, and you'll be clean." And Naaman got big and mad because I thought surely he'd come out and call upon the name of his God and strike his hand upon the leprosy and recover me from my leprosy. He got big and mad, and one of his servants said, "My father, if he'd asked you to do some hard thing, wouldn't you have done it? Why not wash and be clean?" So
he
not only got mad at the message, but he didn't even want to go to the river.
Right.
I mean, he mentioned the rivers of Damascus. He said, "Are they not better rivers than Jordan?" I don't know nothing about those rivers. I don't know nothing about Jordan. I just know that the prophet told him to go to Jordan, sir.
Right.
He said, "You go to Jordan,
right,
and you dip 7 times.
Yeah.
I've never been a leper. But if I was a leper, and somebody said, "If you want to be clean, just go down here and dip 7 times and be clean," would you do it?
Mm-hmm.
I know I would.
Yeah.
I'm stubborn, thick-headed. My wife says I'll do everything but what she says, but she's got around that. I find out she can't persuade me to do a lot of things.
Right.
I might do them reluctantly. I still ain't paid that room, but it's getting closer to getting done, I can tell. Hadn't been for a foot, I probably already had that room paid, fellas. So anyway, he does go down to Jordan. And Danny, I can see him. And he probably talking with himself. He said, "This is a waste of time."
Yeah.
The devil probably said, "Amen."
Right.
He said, "This is stupid." The devil said, "You're right. Let's leave."
Yeah.
But he dips one time.
Amen.
He dips 2 times. 3 times he's looking. He says, "Ain't nothing to this." I believe the prophet said, "Dip 7 times.
Right.
See, God tells us to do things, we just want to do about half of it.
Yeah, that's right.
I believe that Peter said, "Repent, be baptized." And
yeah.
Some people, all they want to do is get baptized. They don't think nothing about repenting. But anyway, I did repent. I did get baptized. I got baptized 2 weeks after I repented.
Right.
Boy, I'd make fun of a woman, Shirley, about her getting saved, her husband. God had a little humor in that. Guess who the next one was in line behind that woman I made fun of? I told him, I said, "I'll have you down there baptizing you." I said, "You better get you another one of these tall boy past blue ribbons." And anyway, Bonnie, the next one in line behind Sandra Ford was Eddie Wayne. God had a little bit of humor in that.
Right.
But I'll tell you what, I ain't got no problem with it. I'm glad. Hey, I'm just glad he put up with me.
Yeah.
I'm glad he gave me a second chance. I have no problem with it at all. But a lot of people don't follow through.
Right.
You know, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as we see that day approaching." God wants us in church.
Yeah.
God wants us singing that song.
Right.
If anybody ought to be singing God's songs, it ought to be those that have been given a second chance in their life.
Amen.
I mean, buddy, you talking about letting the dean say so, amen.
Yeah.
I can't sing a lick, I just make a racket.
Yeah.
But God, he told Naaman through the prophet Elisha to go to Jordan and dip 7 times. I didn't say he done dip 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
So he got 4 more to go.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see him. Sharon, mm-hmm. he's in that battle decision. 4 more to go. Now all these guys up there watching, they're probably taking selfies, you know.
Probably.
Hey, he goes again. Sharon, he's done with 6 times. I mean, that's your thing.
making it work, this is number seven.
Right.
And in obedience to the word of God,
right.
He gets that seventh time.
Right.
God didn't name it. Even though he got mad without even doing what was told.
Right.
Even though he got mad, God gave him a second chance, Mitchell. And on that seventh dip, his flesh became like a little child.
Yeah,
you know what, bud? He got happy. The Bible said in Psalms 119, help me, Lord. 119, verse 114, I think. Happy is that people. I may have got that verse wrong. But Psalm 115, verse 14 or something. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Yeah, happy is that people in such a case. I can see Naaman now. Hey, he ain't mad no more. He's happy. And he wants to give something.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
Oh, I tell you what, I got saved. I was wanting to give something. You know what I give? I give away. I give anything I got. I give people stuff all the time. I was at the store one day and there was a little girl picked up her mom was in front of me, a little girl picked up behind her. Her mom was talking to the cashier, and she picked up this Minnie Mouse with pink slippers, you know, and pink bow. And she's trying to get her mama's attention, and she finally got her mama's attention, and it was $9.99. I looked over at it, and it's $9.99, Joanne. And I was looking at my billboard to see if I had a 10, you know. So anyway, she got her mama's attention. She said, honey, we can't get that now. Maybe we'll get it for Christmas. And the money, she kissed the little thing and put it back there across my heart melted. I reached back out that $10 bill. I said, if you wouldn't mind, ma'am, I'd like for her to get it now. And she hugged me. She said, thank you so much. And then the cashier at house, she said, I'll pay the taxes on it. She gave her a hug. Said, well, girl, what I had been in this kind of hand. It's just a little thing, you know, but it meant a lot to that little girl.
Right.
And we can do those little things, but I'll tell you right now, buddy, another one that Naaman want to give, I want to give. I look for people everywhere. If I find somebody in need, if a need's real, and I can help them, I'll help anybody.
Yeah.
I tell you right now, I give people rides all the time.
Right.
I give them money all the time. I tell them about Jesus all the time.
Amen.
I pass out tracts all the time.
Yeah.
I tell them, hey, he'll give you a second chance.
Right.
Hey,
right.
He'll put up.
Right.
Woo.
Good.
Hallelujah. And Naaman, he didn't like the method. He got mad. And, you know, he didn't like the method, but I'll tell you what, he still got the healing.
Yeah.
And Paul mentioned about the simplicity of Christ in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 3. It's simple. Paul said, Christ Jesus came in this world to save sinners.
Yeah.
He went on to say, of whom I'm chief. Saul, before he became Paul, Carolyn was given a second chance.
Mm-hmm. Yes, right.
He didn't know who Jesus was, and he's out killing Christians. He's out causing all kind of trouble to the churches. And he ran into the head of the church, Jerry.
Yep.
And he had to ask him who he was.
Yeah,
he said, who art thou, Lord? And Jesus said, I'm Jesus.
Right.
Whom thou persecutest.
Thank
I guess
you.
He thought he was going to be a little limp wrist Jew. But the Bible said Paul trembled.
Yeah.
And he fell down. And he said, Lord,
what'd
you have me do?
Yeah.
He got on board.
That's
you know what
right.
I mean?
Yeah.
God did this easy, burned him to a crisp, and gave him a second chance.
Yeah.
And the Bible said immediately, Brother Mitchell, he preached Christ.
Yeah.
And he said, many have done harm to the simplicity that's in Christ.
Yeah.
How simple is it, Brother Eddie? Well, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, John chapter 3.
Mm-hmm.
And he's having a little trouble getting John to see. Jesus says, except a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born the second time? Can he enter his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus said, marvel not, I say unto you, must be born again.
That's right.
But on down there, I think it's verse number 12. Let me look here. I got it wrote down here. John chapter 3, verse 14. Jesus mentioned how simple it was. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, Bonnie. You see over there in Numbers chapter 21, the people were simple. God's putting up with them. He gave them a second chance, got them out of Egypt, and they're complaining and murmuring all the way, bickering and blaming God for everything that don't go their way. God sends fiery serpents into the midst. There's people getting bit,
certainly.
Those that got bit are dying.
Right.
They're going to cry to Moses. You know what they said, Sharon? They said, pray to God.
Yeah.
He helped us. These snakes are biting us. We're dying.
Right.
So he went crying to God. Bonnie, you know what God told him to do?
Yeah.
He said, make a serpent of brass, put it on a pole, and whoever looks to that serpent will live. Look and live. That's simple, ain't
it?
And the Bible said, as many as look unto him shall he appear.
Right.
Well, in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, as it's appointed unto men once to die, and after that to judgment. Verse 28, as many as look unto him, Brother Danny, shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. It's simple. Jesus said, look unto me, all the ends of the earth, Isaiah chapter 45, and be ye saved. Beside me there is none else, and unto me every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. That lines up all through the Bible. In Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation any other. There's no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Look to Jesus if you want to be saved.
Thank you. Yes.
The same God that gave Jonah a second chance. Same God that gave Eddie a second chance.
Yeah, that's
right. Same God that gave Carolyn a second chance.
Right.
Same God that gave Jerry a second chance.
Right.
Same God that gave Joanne a second chance.
That's
same
right.
God gave Phillips second chance. Amen.
Right.
He's in the second chance.
Yeah.
He said, all right, let's talk about it. Let's reason about it. I'll help you. I'll forgive you. I'll save you. I'll put up with you. I'll love you. Amen.
That's right.
Amen. Good. Come on.
God gave Jonah a second chance.
Yeah.
And used it.
Yeah.
God's offering second chances today.
Yes.
There'll be a lot of people sitting out. All the counsel of God, they'll do none of His reproof. They'll turn it down. I don't want no second chance.
Right.
I'll be just fine.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
What was that song, Frank Sinatra? Son, I did it my way.
Yeah.
Right. I wonder how it is with Frank today. I'll tell you right now, don't do it Frank Sinatra way. Do it Jesus way. Father, we thank You for this message today. How true a message, Lord, that is about Jonah. Lord, about Nineveh, they will rise up and condemn the world because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. Lord, we've got a bunch today. They don't repent. They don't regard anything to do with God. And they're on a head-on course with judgment. Lord, they need that second chance. I pray for them, Lord. I wish they'd been here today to hear this message. Lord, I thank You for these that have listened to it and have bought it. And a lot of them, Lord, can amen and say it was a true message.
Yes.
And Lord, we thank You for that second chance. We thank You for that grace, Lord, that You give us, Lord, that You love us in spite of ourselves. And Lord, You're helping us, Lord, to grow to that stature of maturity where we're more Christ-like. Help us, I pray. And Lord, I pray if anything needs to be done here today, I pray the nail-scarred hand of our Savior will be the one to do it. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
I'd like to ask everybody to stand. Get Brother Jerry, please. And Sister Sharon. I'm going to go to a funeral after the service today. A friend of mine passed away. That's why I wore my black suit. Took my stickers off the back of my truck. I don't want to be an offense to no one. I want to try to be a blessing. But if you need to come this morning, this is a good opportunity to get a second chance in life. You say, well, Brother Eddie, you don't know what I've done. I don't. That's true, and I don't want to know. But He already knows.
Right.
And He said, come unto me.
Yes.
Though your sins be as scarlet, He said, I'll make them white as snow.
Yes.
Though they be red like crimson, He said, I'll make them as wool. You got to come to Him to get that second chance.
Number one.